It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Mark Stevens. He's trying to get it all on video on his little bitty baby camera. 3 hours. How's that working out for you, man?
I think we're doing all right.
Yeah, you know, I just did. Oh, and it's hot pink. So, okay, purple, whatever. You know, the one thing, and this is of interest to a lot of people. You know, Mark always does a good show and everything. Yeah, you know, yeah, we'll see. I'll talk to the boys. We'll see if we can get you, you know, some more exposure. Because I'm telling you, man, you know, what you have to say and who's listening is important stuff. So we'll put in some calls. But the thing is that I still wanted to answer your question, and this is good for the audience. On this competing ideas of what's going on in New Hampshire. Now I'll explain it to you. When they started doing the Free State Project immediately, you have a bunch of people that are going, hey, Free State, right on, cool, man, I'm there. You know, we're going to consolidate and we'll go, you know, wear the ring. We'll get behind the lever of power and we'll be in charge. Yeehaw! That was the whole concept of the whole idea. That you'd be able, with a relatively good little core of people, 5,000-10,000 people in one area, gosh darn it, that district is getting elected somebody, you know, assuming you trust the elections. But anyway, so you go in there and you do that. Those people that believe that, right across the border from Massachusetts, your boss is right there. You got, you know, Massachusetts, the socialist empire of, and all of a sudden, they go, hey, there's less taxes over here. So they're moving into Nashua and Manchester and Concord, where, you know, that strip there going up the highway where the most population, you know, most of the people live, and that's where the centers of political power is. You go west, probably about, I don't know, 60 miles or so, far enough. You go to Keene. Keene is more, it's newer. It's like a new community that's expanding. It's new buildings. It's new metropolis type. You know, I mean, it's still a small town, but it's newer strip centers, newer homes, newer, it's a lot of development there. That's where the anarchists went. They're like, that's where freekeene.com is. That's right. Free Talk Live, all that kind of stuff. That's where they're going, okay? They're like, oh, no. Yeah, whatever. You can, you know, talk about, you know, you're still voting. I mean, you know, they're doing the kind of street action and so on. In northern part of New Hampshire, where you have a much more rural area, because New Hampshire is unique. I mean, you'll have a town like where the grocery store is, but the town really is a bunch of houses that are a quarter mile to a mile apart from each other. It's very open. It's beautiful, too. Nice driving. I really like it. I mean, it's really nice. But in the cities, it's still this city, Massachusetts, Boston mentality kind of thing. But most of New Hampshire is like, there was news today. I don't care. You know, I'm out in the middle. You know, I'm doing chickens, man. I don't care. So those people that are the anarchist type, I mean, a real hardcore, I don't even want to challenge the state. I want to ignore them as much as possible. They're up out in the hinterland, whatever. So you have three groups that people wouldn't expect. One are the Free State kind of libertarian running for office as Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever. We're going to, you know, rule from the inside. We got to get in to fix it. You know, go fix what? I don't want to save the ship of state. Screw it. Let it go down, man. Let's go save the people. Well, they're just more like, well, save the people with the ship. Well, its back's broke, man. It's going down in two pieces. You know, all I want to do is key it as it goes down. I mean, you know, just for grins and giggles. So then you have the Keene guys that are, you know, we're going to make a statement by, you know, resisting state authority. They're the Mark Stevens types, you know, they're out there actually saying what, or the Mark Stevens may even be the guys up northern New Hampshire. So these are the three kind of groups. So when you go up to Pork Fest, where everybody's camping and hanging out and so on, you have a lot of the Free State people. And I did the kind of a 20-minute speech leading into what they called Soapbox Idol, where Guard Goldsmith was one of the judges, and Chris Lawless, which is one of the Free State guys, and what's the guy, Stefan
Molyneux.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. I like his. You know, we got to put more stuff up of his, you know, on Freedom's Phoenix. But he does. He has kind of a. I think he's from South Africa or something. Or
well, he's actually from England, and he lives in Canada now.
And he has, you know, kind of that English accent. He does a lot of YouTube. Great on economics. He's very popular and cool guy. I think he was surprised by his rock stardom. You know, I don't think he understood how many people was watching his stuff. And he does such a good job. So the three of them were judges of the people doing the 3-minute rant. One of the guys was John Bush, you know, Catherine Bleich's partner on the defuse thing, on these fusion centers, you know, where you have this Homeland Security thing. He gets his 3 minutes, and it was all dissing Ron Paul. I mean, not Ron Paul, Rand Paul. I mean, he hammered on Rand. Oh, it was, and the crowd was going crazy. He thought it was great because Rand's kind of, you know, compromising a little bit on, and he just went off on him after a few beers, I'm sure. And it just, you know, oh, and then you had, you know, 3 minute next guy, 3 minute next guy. And Guard and these guys would do this kind of like American Idol critique and everything, and it was fun. Well, to open that up, I did my 20-minute thing, kind of introducing this, you know, popular segment of the Pork Fest. So you do that kind of deal. And you can see from the representation of the judges there, they kind of represented, you know, different parts of this. That's why you had those three guys up there. Angela Keaton was supposed to be Stefan's thing, but he couldn't make it, so Stefan did that. What you have is all of these different groups represented at this one, but it was overwhelmingly dominated with anarchists, okay? And it's not your, you know, dreadlock, you know, left-leaning socialist anarchist type. We want to take everything from everybody so we can redistribute it to us. I mean, not those guys. You want to have just, you know, the autocrat, you know, these self-rule guys. They're just like, hey, man, I don't need to challenge or beat up anybody. I don't need to, you know, rise up against a man. I just need to get away from them. I don't want to change them. I don't want to be in charge of the ring. I just want to, you know, heck, I don't even care about throwing it in the fire as a mortar. I just want to get as far away from it as possible. Those are the people in majority that you were experiencing at Pork Fest. But they have another side. You go down in the Manchester, you go down in the southern part, they didn't feel as welcome to go up there or didn't think they were going to have as much fun. One of those Soapbox Idol 3-minute things was from a woman that's a teacher in the populated areas that was screaming about her 3-minute rant was all on, oh, you people aren't voting and we need you to come help us get in. So this is where the at Liberty Fest, that was what my speech was all about for an hour. That's all I talked about, was I knew this was going to happen. It always does. You have the people that move up there just want to be left alone, and the people that did the Free State thing saying, you're not supposed to just sit there and do nothing what you want. You guys are supposed to come over here and help us do what we want. All you guys doing all this activism in Keene, all the stuff that you guys do, Free Talk Live, people doing the radio, all you guys doing all this work, if you were to direct all that effort and power and energy over to what we want, we'd get what we wanted. And they're going, you got a shiny badge somewhere that you're holding on to? I mean, you'll get, because you're the same thing as these guys. You're making the same arguments. You're trying to increase the legitimacy of the state, and we're not. As time went on, over the past year or two, they finally started to mesh and understand that, you know, they can coexist, but right. You're not going to change the anarchists. You're not going to make state. Once you learn, how do you unlearn the truth? Okay, what's happening is the Free State guys are starting to just kind of tolerate them more, being able to overlap using what they're doing. Because the first thing was, you didn't wear your three-piece suit when you were doing that protest. You know, you were challenging dope. You know, oh my goodness, you can't do that. I mean, you know, this kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's why when you went there, you were so overwhelmed more by this agorist thing, which just means marketplace. You know, it's just kind of just leave me alone stuff. Because that are the type of people in the Free State thing that was drawn up there. But there's the other side. They're down in Manchester. Okay? That's the difference.
Yeah, and see, and with the No State Project, it's not limited to a certain geographic area. The idea is to get more like what they're doing in Free Keene and what Ian is doing with FreeKeene.com is to not bring about a voluntary society by using the political voting system. I mean, obviously, civil disobedience is engaging the political process. But you're not voting as if that's going to bring about the change that you want.
Yeah, you're legitimizing them by participating in it. I started to realize that myself. I'm going, I'm just playing their game. I'm a sheep in the chute. I'm going up to their screen and like a rat going, you know what? And I wasn't getting the feedback that I want just by even participating. I'm screw them.
Yeah.
You know, I want to save the audience. You understand.
Yeah. See, what it comes down to is we're not going to ask permission to do this. And so that really should be the center idea, a concept behind civil disobedience. We're going to, like what they had with Agora Alley at the Pork Fest. Here you've got all these people providing some really good food. I mean, even you had the baklava guy, you had the biscuit guy from Savannah,
they got a bunch of my silver.
They got, the all-you-can-eat Savannah on Saturday morning, the Savannah biscuits. We're not asking for permission. And what a better way to attack the premise of the false premise of legitimacy that they have than to do things as free people and not ask for permission.
If you think you need to ask permission, you deserve to be told no. We'll talk about it more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence and get Mark Stevens' kind of perception of what happened at Pork Fest. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Games. 150 days of games.
He's cleverer than I thought.
Clever. The whole of Rome have been laughing at him. They weren't so afraid of his Praetorian.
Fear and wonder. A powerful combination.
You really think that people are going to be seduced by that?
I think he knows what Rome is. Rome is the mob. Conjure magic for them and they'll be distracted. Take away their freedom and still they'll roar. The beating heart of Rome is not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand of the Colosseum. You bring them death. And they will love him for it.
Yes, they'll love you for it. It's not, you know, the whole, that's from Gladiator. And it's two senators talking about the emperor. He's going to do, you know, all the half a year, 6 months of games. It's a bread and circuses kind of thing. He goes, you know, he understands what Rome is. It's the mob. It's not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand of the Colosseum. What are Mark and I dealing with? The sand of the Colosseum. You're like, all right, fine. We're Maximus, man. You want to play? Let's play. You know, so Mark's in the arena there going, oh, bring it on, man. He's King Kongin. You know, bring it on. And the Commodus, you know, the Caesar, he's like going, man, why can't you just die? You know, which eventually winds up coming down to one of these days. You know, but the thing is that you don't challenge it. You just ask questions. Hey, man, I was just asking a question. I'm not showing disrespect to your authority. I'm just trying to find out where the heck it is if I'm supposed to respect it. You know, where is it? I'll respect it. Show me where it is. You know, that is a simple way of doing this. Well, what you saw at Pork Fest, it's Porcupine Festival is what it means. Because the Free State, yes, not Porcupine, I thought about it. What is that, Hedonism 3? Is it the orgies or something there? I'm going, no. The reason they call it Porcupine Festival is the porcupine is the logo for the Free State Project because it's a defensive animal. I mean, it's not an assertive or aggressive animal, but gosh darn, you don't want to be messing with it. And what's your name? Carla had this reverse visor thing. She has like a crown on her head that was made out of porcupine quills. Did you see that thing?
No, I don't remember
seeing
that.
These quills are like 10 inches long and sharp as freaking needles. I'm going, holy crap, I wouldn't mess with a porcupine either. I go, is that a real quill? Oh, woohoo, man, that is nasty. Man, that would be messing up a dog. You know, I've seen dogs that had like quills in their face before. You know, I'm going, oh, that's not good on the internet. But I actually saw one in person. Man, that is sharp. Can't you like dull that a little bit? There's like, you know, stuff going on. You know, that's another thing. They had a lot of kids, too. They had kid activities.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing exercises and little classes, and they're having fun out there. People were bringing their families. They had, this one thing that got you in trouble, your wife.
Oh, he's going to mention this. Thank you.
Pole dancing! Pole dancing! They had to put, you know, I didn't go, but the guy that was in one of the rooms next to us, he won. He had a sash on, you know, a pole dancer, you know, and he was really proud of that. He's just a regular guy. Hickey's probably in his 40s, you know, and I guess he was in shape, and I went up, and it was just a fun thing. They did, you know, they call it daughter-mother pole
dancing. The mother-daughter pole dancing, which I was doing my workshop. At the time. I was not there for that.
I didn't go. That was just for the young people to have fun. It was just, they had a lot of that stuff. They had a, oh, I know one thing they called. They called it some gay swing dancing or something.
The Big Gay Al Dance Club or dance.
They were just doing swing dancing. They put gay in there just so everybody's welcome, kind of. See, it was just a crazy anarchist kind of stuff. And you'd go, I tell you, we were looking for good food through the whole time. We went to restaurant. I tell you where the best food was. It was the guy making the heroes, George's whatever it was, the baklava guy.
Baklava guy.
You know.
Yep.
And I'm going, you know, it takes silver. Why? Yes, I do. You know, because I brought mostly silver. I just didn't, you know, have the. I just brought little silver rounds and, you know, Freedom's Phoenix stuff and everything. And I went in and I just, you know, paid for stuff in silver. And you get silver in exchange, you know, junk silver and so on. And they had, what'd you call it? Anarchist Row or something? What'd they call it?
Agora Alley.
Yeah, Agora Alley. So, you know, tell us about that.
Well, somebody had paid for my workshop, which is what I did all day on Friday, which I was not at the pole dancing. We have video proof, but somebody had paid. Somebody,
did you really get in trouble?
Oh, she's going to laugh at this. Yeah, a little bit. Somebody had.
Everybody had clothes on. I just want you to know that. You know, and I didn't even smell any marijuana.
I don't know how you didn't.
I was in the motel part that was in the, you know, I remember the soapbox thing. I kind of smelled a little whiff of something. But there was always, you know, law enforcement. I saw a couple times they drive through the campground and leave. There's like 700-something people there. But everybody, I'd say over 50, 60% of the people had sidearms on.
Oh, yeah, easily. But I think it's just understood that, you know, the law enforcement, they knew about it. They didn't do anything. But what I enjoy, too, about the whole thing about not asking for permission, is that somebody had paid for the workshop with silver. And I had been able to then use the silver and not have to use Federal Reserve notes the entire time I was at the Pork Fest, except for when I went, of course, to Shaw's, which closes at 7 o'clock. While you're closing a supermarket at 7 o'clock, I don't know.
It's a small town.
It was great. Nobody was... And this, getting back to what we're talking about before, the Pork Fest was great because it gives you a model and like free cane and whatnot and a local currency of not asking for permission. So to me, I look at that as a workable model that I base the No State Project on now, is to, instead of being geographically centered in Keene or somewhere else in New Hampshire, it is where you start building communities to do the same thing based off that model. Look, we're not asking you for
your
permission.
It's in your head. I mean, it's called Craigslist. I mean, you know, they do whatever they want. You know, one thing they had, they called Alt Expo. Remember the big yellow tent? They had a bunch of books and they were giving classes and so on. At the Liberty Forum and at other events, even in previous years, they would have, you know, the kind of the structured Free State Project. You go to hear the breakout. You have these guys would always rent some kind of a suite somewhere, and they had the alternative exposition is what it was, I guess. And they call it Alt Expo. So you'd go there, and you'd have fun, and you'd hang with them and do whatever. And they created this big thing on Agora Alley there. They had their own little classes and such like that. And these guys are just the alternative. You know, they're the guys that are like, hey, we're just advocating, you know, getting off the grid. Just, you know, we're trying to fix it. Just avoid it. And there they had a lot of things like square foot gardening, you know, how to build outhouses, how to live, you know, chickens. I mean, you know, these are guys that are practicing it and how to use metals and so on, how to do exchange rates, how, you know, just how to do it. And I'm going, oh, I like these guys. This is good. And it was at Liberty Forum's first time I heard the term agorism. I never even heard of that before.
Yeah, I wrote about it in my book about using the market, the free market, a real free market, to bring about the abolition of government event. And I didn't even realize it was a word for it until just a couple years ago. I was like, where the heck, where have I been?
You know, it came, I think what it came from, it was somebody came up with it, and then they wrote a novel. It's Elnio Shulman wrote a novel, something Midnight Night and Mare Night Midnight something. I don't know, some novel, and they kind of explained it and put it in there, and they kind of embraced that as it were, because it's Greek. Agora is Greek for marketplace or something. So it's just
An open market.
Yeah, so it's just they're just trading. They're just, you know, because they can. And I'll tell you, this is where this economy is going. Because, you know, as opposed to what? I mean, you know, Weimar Republic. I mean, you know, what do you think's going to happen? We're going into hyperinflation. I don't know how we're going to avoid it. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I believe the hyperinflation took place for a while. I think, you know, we had gone into a deflationary period because after the housing market, we saw the hyperinflation from that. And the effect of the hyperinflation from that was when we saw the result in May of 2008, where gas spiked to $4.50 or $5 a gallon. So, you know, so then it was a deflationary period. Oh, they're not giving out any loans. You know, so So we've seen it, a taste of it already and what it will do. I think the next time it happens, it's going to be $7, $8, $12 a gallon for gas.
It's just printing. You know, inflation, the price inflation is just a side effect of the actual monetary supply inflation.
Well, right.
So I'm talking about the monetary supply. The other stuff is just going to come because they're not going to stop spending.
No.
We got an austerity package. We're going to half our deficit by 2013. Yay! Oh, you guys are freaking entertaining, man. So, you know, I want to talk about agorism a little bit more in the after the crash, because the crash is coming. You know, what's going to happen? Mark and I have witnessed an entire generation that understand this and are preparing for it. You be prepared, too, with information.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, because I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Oh, just the laws of gravity? I'm going to defy it every single one I can get. My hands up. Give me a law so I can defy it, or at least see if I can, just for grins and giggles. You know, and whose law? Whose law? Whose law? Whose law? You know, one thing. We were talking about this off air, you know, and I remember this article that keeps, you know, coming back, this legitimacy of government thing back from 94. And it was done by, I remember a guy emailing me or calling me or something saying, do you mind if I put this up as an article? You know, this conversation I was having on this board. And I go, man, I don't care, you know, whatever. You know, because I knew back in the day. The first time I got an email, immediately I knew, I'm going, every single freaking keystroke that I put on the internet, I guarantee it's going to be there for the man sometime, somewhere, someplace. You know, guarantee. Every word out of my mouth, you know, I knew that going in. So I'm comfortable. I've been careful. I mean, every now and then I might go kind of, you know, grit my teeth a little bit, but I'm bring it on. Whatever I said, I'm sure I can pretty much stand behind it or let my grandmother know. I mean, you know, I'm not worried about it. So I go, yeah, go ahead, knock stuff out. Now he, you know, I told him the only thing I said, I go, yeah, we'll fix some grammar and spelling. I mean, you know, they didn't have word processing. This is 94, man. They didn't have, you know, word spell checker, you know, at least I didn't have it. So I'm just going, you know, so he took a little bit of liberties. He put some big words in there, you know, but he put it up. This is as this conversation went. And I never knew who, Frederick Mann is, but you know who he is.
Oh yeah, I've met him. I had when I first started doing my show, the No Stay Project, you had to be the first guest. So come hell or high water, coercion if necessary, you were going to be on.
Thank you.
And then I had Frederick Mann on, and his website, of course, is buildfreedom.com. And he had I enjoyed his writings, and then he had written something about me. Which, you know, where he was saying that I'm not just talking about anarchism and the concept that government has no legitimacy. I've actually put it into the courtroom and had great success there. So he wrote this thing. And so when I started doing my own show, I had to have you. And, of course, I had to have Frederick on. So Frederick was also on that first show.
Very cool. You know, oh, Frederick. Hello. You know, I'm sorry I didn't. I guess he is he from Arizona?
Well, he lives in Arizona.
He must have been on, because the list that this conversation started on was called AZRKBA, Arizona Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And it was done by a gentleman that that sponsored it, put it on at Arizona State University. It was ASU.edu. It was a server from Arizona State University. He was a faculty member or something that kind of started this thing. And, you know, oh my goodness, a few libertarians found out about this right to keep and bear arms thing. And it quickly went from calling BS on this, you know, National Republican Apologist NRA crap, you know, going, right, you know. So these arguments came, and this is where the gentleman that I was going on with, I wish he hadn't put his name up there because I kind of slapped him around a little bit. But, you know, he was a good guy. His name was Mark, whatever. So he's up there and making these arguments. He still is this constitutionalist kind of guy. And it was, I tell you, when in 94, it was right after the election, I was burned, a gas fire, you know, my arm. You see on my arm, you know, I got like little grafts here and so, well, big grafts. But anyway, so I got, you know, burned. As I'm recovering in bed and counting ceiling tiles and so on, you know, a friend of mine, Mike Duggar, comes over and he brings me one of the computers I could be on the internet and kind of, you know, poke on the keys. Well, 2400 baud modem back in the day.
Wow.
You know, I mean, this is like you barely do email. So you're sitting there doing, and all of a sudden it clicked in my head. I go, oh, it's drug induced or whatever realization. But, you know, I'm going, oh, I see what's going on. For the first time in human history, the king is able to get inside our head. For the first time, you're like Facebook, you know, pictures of you and your friends and your favorite movies and your most thoughts and books and this. I mean, heck, they're building profile. NSA is like, thanks for playing. I mean, you know, this is CIA is going, hello, we got best intelligence ever. And you're voluntarily giving it. And I go to my kids, I'm like, you just know this, right? Yeah, we don't care. All right, whatever, as long as you know. You know, but the so what they did is there was a thing called Alt News. Remember, you used to go in, you'd sign up for kind of, it was real raw internet. It was back, you would create your own news service about any issue. Well, we were able to go in, and some of the computer geeks of the day, libertarians aren't short of computer geeks, and they go and they said, look, you can just do a search on the internet, just the raw internet, and everything you've ever said has your name associated with it. It was like a Google search will come back of everything you've ever said. And I go, wow, cool. Lucky I've known that, you know, because some guys were being, yeah, man, we're just going to get them and you get my 50. And we're going, drrr. I mean, you know, saying stupid stuff. Man. And I'm going, man, you are so ripe. Were you an agent provocateur or something? Well, after we put that out, and I'm like, look, you guys know that you could do, all of a sudden this guy went away. He just like, whip. You never heard from him again. So I don't know. Was he a plant? Was he an agent? Was he, you know, just worried then? Whatever. But I could see as time went on, you started to be able to see who the plants were, you know, who the agent provocateurs were, who the guys, you start to, and we were at Pork Fest. Oh, you probably missed this part. Were you there for the Soapbox Idol thing?
I was a guest on Free Talk Live, so I missed a lot of that.
So at the beginning, one of the guys go, yeah, we just want everybody to know. The guy's name is whatever, some Fed that was there, okay? Because he's, like, saying certain... I mean, you can kind of pick these guys out of the crowd,
usually,
you know?
Yeah.
And so they were going, yeah, it's this guy. He won't let you, you know, tape him on this. He won't do this. He won't discuss whatever. He's saying this. You know? So they're giving descriptions of him and everything. So he got outed, okay? There's one. God knows how many there were. Because you know there's going to be guys there.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to miss Pork Fest, you know? Porcupine Festival. They're definitely there with the anarchists. But, you know, and the guys walk around with guns. Of course they're going to have, because local county sheriff's departments have a budget given them by Homeland Security for them to do these kind of things. They got grants. Heck, they get extra goodies if they can arrest somebody for whatever. I mean, this is, we're in a police state. It just got a shiny tie on. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going, okay. So Frederick, is he still doing stuff?
I haven't had contact with Frederick. I believe he still does the website, BuiltFreedom.com.
Well, it's still here. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, there you go. He's got a ton of stuff on there, and he's been at it a long time. Yeah, he's good. He's got a lot of good writers that he has posted up there.
Oh, he's got Stefan up here on top.
Sure.
Yeah, I went to his homepage, the top. Here he The Physics of Whoredom by Stefan. Okay, cool. So he's there. Well, heck, man, we'll put him up on Freedom's Phoenix. Hey, Frederick, you're going on Freedom's Phoenix, man. We're going to out you to the world. All right, cool. That's cool that you know who he is. I never knew who he was.
Yeah, I've met him a few times in Scottsdale.
All right, right on. Well, you know, this is, I wanted to, before we get to the end of the show, we got another, you know, segment and a half here left. You know, is there something that you want to impart after all this reminiscing that we've done that you want to make sure the audience comes away with? I mean, Mark Stevens advocates for freedom. I mean, what? How?
Education and peaceful, nonviolent, non-cooperation, civil disobedience, and, you know, let people know you're not alone. You know, like we mentioned before, it's not everyone has to risk going to jail. We have a certain wuss factor that we all carry with us.
I'm a wuss.
I'm more than happy, and I've gotten on the radio on this show and my show and other shows. I do not pay federal taxes or file tax return. I haven't done it in over a decade. I don't do that. Not everybody wants to take their civil disobedience to that level. So what I've been promoting is getting in touch with us and setting up a micro broadcaster and carrying the show. And that's a way of thumbing your nose at the man and getting the message out.
You know, a lot of people are doing that. We have three FM transmitters.
Nice.
This is what we did. You like this? During the Lovolution, I knew that if you went to a university and you got some guy in their dorm room and they just put in a loop MP3 player off their computer or whatever while they're going to class, or a little iPod that's plugged in, or they just download it from the internet or whatever. You know, we had different files and so on. I had just a bunch of Dr. Paul talking about whatever. You put that into this little FM transmitter. You got to get the antenna set up right, and they got in their dorm room. It'll transmit a quarter mile or half a mile with even just a 3-watt, which is legal. Under the FCC rules and all this kind of stuff, you get it from China, it's a couple $100, you kind of set it up and so on. We'd be going somewhere. We did here at ASU when Obama came last May, okay, a year ago. So when he's coming, he's going to speak at ASU graduation. Well, heck, we're 3 weeks before we're distributing 17,000 DVDs of Obama deception and Freedom to Fascism and For Liberty movie, or I don't know if we had For Liberty then, but we're distributing this stuff, had signs up. I'll show you the template we have in there for the signs. And it was Obama deception with his stencil of his face, FM 91 point, whatever the heck it was, right? You put the transmitter up there, and it's just doing a loop of, of Obama deception. Or you have, for Dr. Paul during the campaign, you got somebody, it was a College Station, I think, in Texas. Yeah, and we were having the university there, we're, broadcasting. So this is, you can just, as a micro transmitter FM station for a couple $100, you can get this stuff, and they're getting better and cheaper and more complete. You had to do some soldering. But, the thing is, you actually can get this all done, have your own little FM transmitter. They're doing it in Iowa right now, broadcasting my show in this one little town that they're just like, oh, they're against the man. So what do? They have a guy that has a store downtown, this little community, the entire, the courthouse and the police station and the fire station and all those guys are getting the transmission of this radio show.
Nice.
And whatever they want to do, you know why? Because they can. It's just little micro FM transmitters. They get that little farming community just to get a little dig in the rib, kind of yang, 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 yang. And we're going to be doing that more with Freedom's Phoenix and developing the radio to have the Sam Broadcaster to be able to do these little micro things of our podcast, including Mark Stevens.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
M-A-R-C Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, markstevens.net. Got all kinds of goodies. Got all kinds of goodies. He's going to save your butt when you're up against a man, and the man don't want you to resist. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to duck. that was the only, think about this. That was the only time, it was like one or two times, I think, with Tom and Jerry, old Tom and Jerry cartoons, where there ever was any speech. And I remember this one, Tom had a, I don't know, frying pan, whatever, he's going to hit Jerry. And Jerry ducks, and he goes, "You're not allowed to duck." And I always thought,
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, yeah. I remember that, man. It just like, whoa, what the heck, he's talking? And what happened is, I wonder why they did that, but it always makes me think of government. They go, "Hey, you're not allowed to duck." So I go, "Yeah, what are you, Tom? Tom the man." So I, this is a lot of the things that we do is just trying to, what is it? Forewarned is for something. I mean, you're prepared for what's coming. So I just want to make sure that the people understand that they're, like you say, they're not alone. We've gone through this before. We've been, all it is that I look at these revolutionaries, these young kids that were so much a part of this revolution, this love-olution, and it was way more than Dr. Paul. He just exposed them to Austrian economics. He exposed them to the concepts of liberty, you know, the proper role of government, that, you know, how you can be, you know, pro-freedom and anti-war and, you know, anti-Federal Reserve and, you know, the Declaration of Independence, you know, all this stuff. All of a sudden, it made sense. And it was the same impact it had on me 20 years ago. So I'm going, I know who these guys are. They're me 15, 20 years ago. I get it. I understand them. I relate to these guys. So now we're in a situation to where because of the ability to directly communicate with each other, including video, that was the one thing that we didn't have when you and I were younger doing this. And I knew when they started being able to do broadband, do able to do video on the Internet, that's when we started Freedom's Phoenix. We had Freedom's Phoenix in our minds in 1995, 96. We already understood that the whole template was already in my head. That was just how fast could we do it. I go, when they started doing video on the Internet, I go, now's the time. Here we go. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, wimps. Get out of my lamestream media. Media so last century. Going to whip your butt. Well, they know it. So what do? Oh, we're going to do a kill switch on the Internet. Heidi Byrick from Southern Poverty Law Center. I go, ah, what's your deal on that? You think, oh, you conspiracy guy. I go, hey, man, I didn't make up the legislation. They're doing it right now. Pelosi's out there promoting it. I go, what happens when they, oh, they would never do it. I go, then why they got the legislation? What they, well, because, see, they're always supporting the state.
Right.
That's their role. So what happens when the state's gone? What are you seeing is going to happen?
Wow. That's a, you got to get into that in the last segment. What do I see as far as what when the state's gone, though?
Well, I mean, you know, at least the legitimacy, the credibility of it. I mean, the economy is going to take a dump. You know, they're going to replace people, just start trading amongst themselves with whatever they got, well, and then what?
Well, people are already starting to use silver and community currencies. People are already getting prepared. Like Freekeen, for example, or, you know, like a lot of communities, especially some of the really poor ones in Michigan, have already taken it upon themselves to get to dig themselves out of the hole that was dug by these lunatics called government. So, yeah, the dollar, the Federal Reserve note, yeah, that will collapse. But people are already, I think, it, you know, the market is going to come to the rescue. And all these community currencies are going to be a part of that and be able to make it available so that people will be able to continue trading.
You know, we just did a story on Freedom's Phoenix last beginning of the week. You know, I think it was Monday or so, a couple days ago. They had Germany. There's a community there. They created their own currency inside the town. In fact, they were doing this, what do they call them, Berkshires or something. It's a valley in Pennsylvania. It was a couple of years ago. They did, you go and you pay $90 of Federal Reserve notes to a bank, a local bank there, and they give you $100 worth of these, you know, Berkshires or something.
Yeah.
So you get like a 10% discount of anything that you spend inside the community. People, they're, you know, trading them for, you know, groceries, or get somebody to do roofing on your house. So you're getting a 10% discount right off the bat. But then here comes IRS, you know. Where's our cut? You know, how are we doing that? They kind of held them off for a while. So far, they were still doing it. The banks were honoring it. The people were doing it. And this is the kind of thing that's already happening.
Right.
You know, this is already. And at Pork Fest, did you see Porcupine Festival? At Porcupine Festival, you saw those laminated business cards, like they had the strips of silver on it. Did you see those?
No, I didn't see that.
They called them Shire Shares or something like that. And it was a gram or 5 grams of silver were $1 and $5. So you're like 60 cents versus, you know, $3 for $5, something like that. But it actually had some inherent value. It was worth more than freaking dollar bills, I can tell you that. So they were, you know, that was currency all over the place. And then they had gold thread that was laminated. I mean, you actually have ribbons of gold and silver, you know, threads of gold and ribbons of silver as the actual money. It was just laminated in a card with a window in it. You could see it. And we were trading those all over. I'm getting me all kinds of heroes and stuff. You know, so this is, it's not like it's going to happen. It's already happening.
Yeah, I've said for years, look, a voluntary society is inevitable. It's already in motion, and we're just doing our part to help bring it about.
I'm for that. You know, tell us some of your favorite, activities there. What did you? I mean, were you totally focused on your classes?
No, I wasn't totally focused on the class. I that was a big part of it. I liked the.
No, you better say that. Your wife's going to be listening.
Yeah, well, I was there. I enjoyed interacting with everyone, and not necessarily one particular activity. I did enjoy the radio show when we did the whole Shire Society, which was fun. But it was interacting and networking with people who think the same way. That, to me, was the highlight, to be around, to have 1,000 people there, because they said it was 1,000 people. And all this equipment out, like you used the Free Talk Live equipment for your show, and all these thousands of dollars worth of equipment was out there, and there were no incidents of theft. Now, people were there preaching, walking the walk, so to speak. They don't believe in initiating violence, and here you have 1,000 people over the course of a week that were living their principles.
You know, that's one thing that we noticed about, a lot of libertarian functions, you have this, maybe not as trustworthy, but you have, our Freedom Summits, you just leave the electronics out.
Yeah.
Your purses, mm-hmm. whatever, nobody cares. You go to Pork Fest, I mean, heck, half the people got guns, it's probably better to just leave it alone,
Yeah.
Whatever. So, this guy, I got Stefan Molyneux on the radio tomorrow morning.
Oh, excellent.
I look on my schedule. It's right here. Then tomorrow afternoon, on this network, I got Julian Heiklin, the guy that was got arrested for passing out Fiji material at the New York Federal Reserve, courthouse there. And how I know him, you'll like this. He's a professor, was, at Penn State University, where my wife went to school. She's from State College there in Pennsylvania. Her mom, my mother-in-law, worked at Penn State University. She knows him. So he would always, on 420, April, he'd go out and light up and smoke a doob in the front of the university, arrest me. And they never did, okay? But, I knew it. So somebody, it was CBS, was calling around years ago trying to get hold of, some libertarian, my name came up. And they go, do you have the number for Julian? And I just happened to remember his name because my mother-in-law said something about it. I go, I don't have it. I know who does. So I gave my mother-in-law's number. I said, call my mother-in-law. Tell her son-in-law called and CBS wants the number for this professor. So anyway, that was entertainment for me. Then tomorrow afternoon we have Stephanie and Mike, and I don't know if you remember them. They are on the LRN network there, and they have a show that's all about a libertarian perspective on relationships. How do you deal with your three mother-in-laws from your three wives? I mean, you got to open your mind in this, anarchist kind of thing. They're not limited by how many, Lord knows what their relationships mean. So that was fascinating conversation I had with them. They're going to be on tomorrow afternoon. So, in addition to you, a lot of people we met there, it's what's possible in a society that's left alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happening. I met people that were experts in marketing that are going to help promote and grow the show, which, of course, gets more people involved and more people can see. Because one of the biggest things is not knowing that is that you're not alone, that there are other people that will support you. That's a big thing in taking that step. Because you don't want to have your friends and family alienate you. And that's what keeps a lot of people...
Well, it's more than just support you. They need you. You're just part of the market. You're just one more cog in the wheel. That's where I was interviewing Larkin Rose. It was a great interview, and I started reading his book. I'm going, God, The Iron Web. Did you read that book?
Yeah, Larkin's a regular guest. He's a friend. I finally got to meet him. Yeah, he's great.
I felt like I knew him. I go in and I was like, Larkin, hey, bud, solid, what's up? I'm like, I feel like I know you. I've seen you so much on stuff. He writes on Freedom's Phoenix. I read his stuff. I'm going, he's a great writer.
Yeah.
And, a good activist. He and his wife did a year apiece. He does a year. Then they let him out and put his wife in so their kids, don't go because of the IRS kind of,
Right.
Then he goes,
bastards.
I know. I took that time, wrote 2 books. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And I read the book and I'm going, one less thing I got to do. Awesome book.
It is. And we can't talk about it, but I respect that. He did a great job. And I'm not saying it because I know him and I've had him on the show. He kept my interest right to the end, and I know him. So, when you know the author, it's a little more difficult to keep the
end. Now, don't spoil it for me. I'm not done.
No,
with
I'm
it.
Not.
I'm about halfway through. I'm a busy guy, but, I'm just like, I'm going, wow, man, this is a better. A friend of mine read it. And we were there. He went with me. He read it, and he goes, yeah, you need to read it. Because I only read about 8-10 books a year, I don't have time. And he goes, well, make this one of them. I'm going, really? So I read it, and I'm going, what? One less book I got to write. Right on. Good job, Larkin Rose. Well, we're going to have him on, too. You know, this is, it's been great spending time with you, Mark. It's been a long time. I was so glad to see you at Pork Fest, and I'm glad you got to experience it. You know, go ahead and give out your website where you want people to go.
Well, it's markstevens.net, and the radio show is the No Stay Project. They're live every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's on American Freedom Radio. You can get it on my website. It's also on, thanks to Ian of Free Talk Live, on LRN.fm.
Mark Stevens, you'll find it all. You don't have to remember all that. MarkStevens.net to have everything for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.